Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is our vital Q&A call for January. This is Angelica, and today Dr. Rita Marie is actually traveling to Hawaii, so she's had some of her certified nutritional endocrinology practitioners step in to field your questions. So I'm going to hand the reins over now to Lynn DeVore-Johnson, who's going to be one of our coaches answering questions, and then later we're going to bring on another coach, Annette.
She's right.
Okay.
There she is.
Okay. She's here.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks, Annette. All right, ladies. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself, and then you guys can take it away. All right. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Angelica.
Hey, thank you, Angelica.
Welcome.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well. It's a
okay,
beautiful day. The sun is out.
Well, not here. It's rainy, overcast, and yucky. But I'm Annette, and I completed Dr. Rita Marie's functional. What are we, Lynn? Functional endocrinology practitioners.
Nutritional endocrinology.
Okay, it's still new. I haven't, you know, just completed the program recently.
I know. If my orange in front of me, my certificate's in front of me. That's what helps me.
Yeah. With all of the letters, it's like, huh? So, but it's, I love working with this group, with being a part of this community, still figuring out all the tech. Like, wow. My passion, of course, is blood sugar, because my daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. But all of our foundations are so important. And we need to address them all if we're going to be happy, healthy people and, you know, get it. Let's not lose sight of our big why. So I'm real happy to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I am feeling honored and privileged to be alongside somebody like Annette, who I feel is very, very well versed on so many aspects of health and healthy living. And I know that those of you who are here and listening today will benefit from her. As Annette said, we are both graduates of Dr. Rita Marie's Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training. I just read a lot. I'm a lot like many of you. I'm a mom. That was my first and probably my most prominent education. And that's just part of what keeps me going and motivated and continuing to read and learn and just glob on to every little bit of understanding I can get. And so that kind of is what brings us here to be with you guys today, to answer any questions we possibly can and support you however we can. Of course, there is no replacing the brain and brilliance of Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, but we will certainly do all we can. So, with that being said, let's see, do we have any questions ahead of time? Nope, no questions ahead of time. So, if you have questions, the best way for us to support you here, in the area where it says live chat, to the left of those words, live chat, you'll see kind of in a grayed out area, it says Q&A. If you can type your questions in there, that would be great. We still will go through the chat, but, and then, yeah, and Angelica put that in as well. If you'd like to actually talk to us, non-scary people that we are, like Beatrice, it's *2 if you're calling in on your telephone. Otherwise, if you look in the section that says it's where you chose how to connect, and on the bottom of that, kind of towards the left, you'll see where it says raise hand. So we will start by speaking in real live time to Beatriz.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well. Have you met Annette before?
I cannot hear you very well.
But, can't hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you sometimes. But let's see. I have a very basic and silly question, which is actually is very embarrassing after all the years that I've been with Dr. Rita Marie. Mm-hmm. But I have ordered by my doctor to take probiotics. And what she told me is just take them whenever you want to. But I'm not sure that's correct. I'm sure there was a right way of probiotics. Some people told me if you take them with meals like she suggested, then all that stomach acid is killing all the bugs. And someone said you have to take them an hour before you eat with 2 glasses of water. And so many things, I really don't know what to do. So I'm putting myself at your mercy.
That's a great question. Nothing silly about it. What do you think, Annette?
Yeah, there's absolutely no questions all questions are worth asking. And I too have been told all that advice. I like to take mine in the morning on an empty stomach. And I really think you need to play around with when you dose to see what works best for you. I wouldn't do it in the middle of a meal though. I agree that the stomach acid is probably going to kill off the beneficial aspects of the probiotic. So
okay.
That's
so
the
on an empty that sounds more logical to me. Because the idea is to keep all those bugs alive to help my intestines, not to kill half of them off.
Right.
And they're really expensive to start off with anyway, so you don't want any of them dead. So I'm going to try that, and I'll let everyone know next month how it works, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, right before bed might be better for you than morning. Play with it.
Well, I'm supposed to take 2 pills in the morning and 2 pills some other time during the day, 4 pills total, 2 by 2. So I guess I would take them before I eat and about 3 hours after I eat my last meal of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. On an empty stomach is best. Are they pills or powder?
They're pills.
Okay.
They're pills, and they have millions and millions and millions of bugs in them.
One thing you might want to do, Beatrice, is start with one and build up.
There she is. Yep.
Taking 4 the first day might cause upset.
Yeah. Okay. I totally agree, because if your system is not used to these particular gut bugs, it's like inviting really nice people to your party, but if you don't know them, you want to get used to them little by little and start building up that group of people.
Okay, yeah, because the first time I took them, I didn't feel that good. So
yeah.
I didn't feel that night. I don't know how I felt, but it wasn't good. So, yes, thank you. I think I'll try that also. I'll start again going one by one, and let's see how it goes. So in an empty stomach, it's better. Do I have to take any water or just half a glass or something like that?
So if they're a capsule, pardon me, you can actually open that capsule up and put the powder in water. Mine is a powder, and that's what I do, is put it in water and then drink it.
Does that work better that way?
Well, yes, it works for me.
Works for you. Okay. I'll try anything, because really she just said take them whenever you want to, and she didn't, I guess she didn't know. It just didn't matter to her. And when I was supposed to take them, and so I think I'll open them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds okay. Yeah. These are some pills called VSL number 3.
Oh, yeah, that's a good probiotic.
It's
a good probiotic. It's a stronger probiotic. And so I would, like Annette said, start with one. And you can do it. I personally take mine in the afternoon, like about 2:30 or 3, because I'm already taking so many other things in the morning.
Yeah.
And so this is just a little easier for me.
The main thing is to keep them away from food. To have at a different time. Okay.
Yeah, your body's already working on so many other things.
That's right, and I am taking a lot of pills with my food and everything, so that sounds good. That sounds good. I'll try it. Ladies, thank you.
You're welcome. I'd like to add something.
And I really did not know if I was doing it right or wrong, but I had a feeling I was doing it wrong, and I was. Thank you so much.
But Beatrice, if one seems too strong, since it's a capsule, you can, like Lynn said, when you open the capsule, you could always do a little less until you find the comfortable spot and then build up from there.
I think one is better. I've been taking them two by two.
Okay.
And but I think I'm going to go back to one because, it's helping in general, but it helps like with a kick or something like that. So it might be a little bit too strong for me right now. I'll start taking them one by one in the tea, how it happens.
Okay.
But now I know how to do it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And have an awesome new year, everyone.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay, Annette?
You blipped out just at that, right before Beatrice said she was having problem hearing me, but other than that, I haven't heard. I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, that's my lovely rural. And sometimes it's just me, the way I talk.
Barbara would like to know what brand the VLS number 3 is.
That's what it is.
The brand is VLS?
Yep.
Okay.
Or it's VSL, isn't it?
Yeah, I do not know.
Okay. Let's see. I thought that's what it was.
Well, when I type it, it's VSL3.
Yeah. I put a link in there because that's what I thought it was. And I put a link in the chat for it. Mm-hmm. And then, Barbara is looking at the adrenal elixirs. Is that what you said?
I did not. No, Barbara was wanting to know what the brand was for VSL. But then you said that's the brand. So we got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, there is a question from Barbara from the chat earlier. She did ask about elixirs. Her question is, she's getting ready to order ingredients to make some elixirs. That's awesome. Yeah, Barbara. And she said the ingredients listed are herbal and mushroom. Are they listed as herbal and mushroom powders? She gets confused as to what part of the plants are being used, roots or leaves. Ooh, this seems like a Lynn question.
Oh, I don't know. I think Annette's pretty good at this, too. I'm happy to listen.
Lynn has a little more expertise here.
You guys are funny. So first of all, when you see the recipes, they generally will say if it's a root. If it's not, then I have my experience is that it's generally a leaf, if it isn't specific. I'm actually looking at some of the elixirs here from the cafe page. Well, the one I'm looking at is Healing Elixirs and Teas ebook from the cafe program. And most of the things in the elixirs are in powders. If I'm quiet right now, it's because I'm actually looking at this to see what it is. The mushrooms themselves are definitely powders. My experience, again, is that the powders and the elixirs are interchangeable. Play around with it. Again, personally, use powders for the elixirs. Sometimes I do switch over to a tincture because I don't like the mouthfeel or the taste. And in fact, in the healing elixir-based recipe, it says a variety of powdered herbs, mushroom powders, and/or green powders.
But one of the things you learn as you work with Dr. Rita Marie and her different recipes is, first of all, she says, play around with it. Play with your food. And just check in with yourself. See, how is my body accepting this? Sometimes elixirs don't work because there is an alcohol base in it. Yeah, I totally agree. There's a lot of them that have a, Angelica mentioned that ashwagandha powder is not a pleasant taste. They can be very earthy. Dirt comes to mind. I think you said something about dirt in one of your posts, Annette.
Oh, it was the yerba mate.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the yerba mate, which actually we've enjoyed. We drink it almost every day now.
Yeah.
There was a tea I was drinking when I had asthma. It was wild cherry bark. And it really, it tasted like dirt. It tasted like tree bark. And it was not pleasant. But over time, I got, because I appreciated how it helped my body and it made breathing easier, I got to the point where I actually enjoyed the taste. So some of those. Yeah. But I would tell people, they'd be like, what's that tea you drink? I'm like, look, it tastes like dirt. You just got to drink it.
You really don't want to know.
Yeah.
But I love that mindset. It's like, well, right now my taste buds aren't having a party on this one, but I know that it's helping my body. I know I've heard Dr. Rita Marie say she'd eat cardboard if she knew that's what was going to be good for her.
Right.
But we all have to come to that point with, you know, what will I like? But again, that's why I appreciate what she has to say. Dr. Rita Marie, with playing with it, you have permission to play around with these things. The quantities are such that they're not going to be harmful to you. And she's given you lots of education on the different herbs and which organs they're for. And again, the CAFE program, the elixir book, she's got about two or three of them in there. So much education in there.
Right.
So,
and Angelica does make a good point. If you really can't stand the taste, you know, she said the capsules are working for her. So that's another option.
That is true. You know, this is one of the things, it's kind of like when you cook food, you're going to have one experience if you eat them raw. You'll have another one if you eat them slightly steamed, another one if you roast them. And so each of the different herbal preparations is going to give you a different experience.
Yeah.
Claudia says spring dragon tea is wonderful. And I really like that one, too.
Yeah, definitely playing with foods and different ingredients helps.
Yeah.
Cinnamon will fix a lot for me.
Yeah, and if you can handle it, if your blood pressure is okay with it, I like adding, if I'm not using the spring dragon tea, I'll use the licorice tea. Because I find that has a little bit of a sweetness. For me, it has a sweetness.
Yeah.
I'm just looking here. I thought I saw we've got people from all over. Barbara's in Tennessee. Beatrice is in Florida. Mary is in Brooklyn. I'm in Iowa. You're in Texas.
Angelica's in California.
Yeah, Angelica's in California. And Claudia, are you in California now?
It looks like we got another question in the chat. It's from Mary.
Yes.
I was just looking at that one.
Yeah.
If you're not digesting properly, if hydrochloric acid is low in your stomach, then you don't absorb the zinc properly. And if you don't have enough zinc, you don't make the proper amount of hydrochloric acid. So it's somewhat of a vicious cycle there. But if you're taking a lot of zinc and it's not going up, I would probably start working on my digestion, maybe adding some bitters in to get that hydrochloric acid up. What do you think, Lynn?
Well, as we have been taught, everything comes down to our digestion. Mm-hmm. So there is probably a blood sugar element in this, but what is it that's raising the blood sugar? And then the other aspect of this is that is your liver, because everything with the hormones and your liver and things like macular degeneration and glaucoma goes through your liver. So making sure that, like you said, you're making enough stomach acid, that your liver is clear, it's not stagnant, things are flowing through, then all the other hormones are going to run through it too. I'm just looking at her question one more time. And then the other thing is, she says her blood level doesn't go up. And blood isn't always the best way. It's one way to check it out. You might want to do a zinc tally test. Body Bio has that, where you put the zinc in your mouth, and if it tastes good, that means you need it. If there's no taste, still probably need it. But if it has that terrible taste, then you don't need it. So you have different ways to check in with your body. What program are you in, Mary? Because most of the programs Dr. Rita Marie has, she has the nutrient evaluations. And so doing that would be helpful. If you're in the GRAND program or Body Balance or any of those programs, you can do the digestive function assessment, and that will also tell you more about your stomach acid.
On the oral tolerance test of the zinc, there is a very small portion of the population that test really doesn't work well in. Because my daughter can drink it and instantly have that horrible face. So you go, oh, she's sufficient. But when you run her blood and run the blood chemistries for years, it's always been coming up. She's low, she's deficient.
Okay. So
she's just one of those people that doesn't work in. So just if you're just not getting the results, it could be you're in that small minority also.
Right.
Yeah.
Good to remember. All right. We have, I'm just going to check the Q&A first just to make sure.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I see a couple of raised hands. If you ladies would go to the our caller panel, and then you can take them one by one.
And Barbara had put a question in the queue.
Yes.
But the hands were raised, I think, first.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Danielle will be first.
Oh, Daniela, your line is open. Oh, well, it was. Try it again. There we go.
How about now?
Yes.
Did I unmute myself again?
Well, you're open now.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. We can.
Okay, wonderful. Because it says, oh, it just shows me how to close it, I guess. I don't know. Okay, thank you for taking my question. Actually, I have two. Oxalic acid, Dr. McCullough interviewed somebody who's very, very knowledgeable in this, having gone through that in a very, on a difficult journey. A lot of the foods that we eat here, this group of people, are high in oxalates. I had kidney stones years ago, and then more recently, it wasn't so painful, but I started getting some light pain and sharp twitches, and my one of my mentors, who does very good muscle testing, said I had kidney stones again. So I treated it that way with chancapiedra and all kinds of other things, and it's really good now. But I'm just wondering about this whole topic because it's these oxalic crystals can settle in any tissue, including the thyroid, you know, and other there are some places that I've had more pain for many years, and no matter what I've done in terms of all kinds of body work and diets and whatnot, it's not, and stretches, it did not go away. I understand that there is a bacteria in the gut that actually feeds on just oxalic acid or oxalate, but a lot of people don't have it. I know my digestion, I mean, at some point I had a dysbiosis. I have been treating it. I think it's way better, but it's still, I don't think it's like the best, the optimal milieu yet. So I wanted to know, what do you know about this? Any tips? Oh, one more thing that I know is that you have to slow down on eating things high in oxalates, which is a lot of the healthy things that we love. And then, because if you do it too fast, it will start coming out and be very painful. And it will come out in certain tissues and so on, be very, very painful. And so you go slowly down, and then you can also take certain minerals like, they say calcium citrate, which I'm a bit nervous about because I don't want so much calcium floating around. I would like your opinion on that. Magnesium citrate and potassium citrate, that they actually kind of bond to that and then you excrete it. So this is my whole long background and question.
When my daughter was in the hospital, her kidneys were shutting down. And while some of it was probably from the high blood sugar, it was mostly blockages caused by eating too many oxalates.
Uh-huh.
The week before she came home from school, she was very proud of herself. She said, "Mom, during finals week, I ate nuts. I had Thai food. I had strawberry." She ate rhubarb for the first time. If she had chocolate, it was dark chocolate. Everything she ate was high in oxalates. So once they ended up doing a kidney biopsy, which is how we found out her kidneys were just clogged with the oxalates. And so we took her off all oxalates. She stayed off easily for a couple of weeks. Just none. No nut butters, no nothing that had high levels of oxalates in it. And her kidneys cleared and they recovered. And we did try to find the oxalobacter. That's the probiotic we're talking about. I tried really hard. And yes, you cannot source it in the U.S.
Not yet, right?
No. And, you know, I had people that were going over to Europe and I'm like, if you find it, buy it. I don't care how much it is, because I wanted her to have a little edge going forward. And she'll eat oxalates now. She's just very careful. She doesn't gorge on them like she was. It's just part of her healthy diet. The doctors did have her on increased magnesium during that time, but I can't say for sure that that was to pull the oxalates out or not. But yeah, they're just going off the oxalate foods is really what helped her.
Mm-hmm. For many years, my morning smoothie would be raw cacao and some kind of nuts that have been sprouted. So sometimes it used to be almonds, which are very high.
Right.
And, you know, kale and all kinds of greens, and chia, also very high. And then the rest of the day I might have other types of things that are high. I mean, almost everything healthy has a good amount of oxalate, if not very high amount. So,
well,
yeah.
In her case, like I said, it was because we wanted to get off dialysis. It was an easy choice for us. And she, you know, like I said, after some adjustments, it really was, I mean, I didn't even eat them. And now when we eat them, it's just part of a balanced meal. We try real hard not to eat just in the oxalate family, which is too bad because, like you said, there's a lot of good food there.
Yes, and I'm already off gluten, dairy, soy, corn, nightshades. You know, I mean, not so much left after that, but the healthy vegetables, which many of them are high. Like even broccoli has quite a bit, you know, so I'm mostly eating cauliflower now.
For some people, cooking the oxalate food a little bit helps.
Yes, this woman said that it doesn't, that it's commonly understood that way, but she said it doesn't. This woman who specializes in this, the Dr. McCullough interviewed.
Okay.
Maybe fermenting them, if it makes a difference.
It could. I can't really answer that. That's really a Steph question. But I, you know, like I said, I wish we could get that oxalobacter because if I could get it, I'd have her on it even now.
Yeah. So whoever finds it first, please let each other know, the whole group. It would be amazing. Do you know which country in Europe has it?
No, I don't because I haven't looked at it in like 4 years. So I really don't know, but I'm looking online right now and it says they have it in the UK.
There's something I was going to say here.
And we would, there was a couple of supplements on the market that said they had it in it, and we went and found them, and then it wasn't in there.
Oh.
So I would read the label. If you think you found something in the U.S. that contains the oxalobacter, read the label before you buy it.
Right. Uh-huh. Hmm.
Go ahead, Lynn.
I will, yeah.
All I was going to say, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying, and it seems like part of you doesn't want to do this. You're listening to an expert, and you're going by what they say. But honestly, I feel like you are your own best expert. And so as you hear what this other person says, their experience with the oxalate, I hear you saying, I don't want to not take one more thing. So how would it feel for you if you just said, you know, to heck with it. I'm going to eat some of these now and then. It's not like you're going to sit there and gorge yourself on it. But every once in a while, I'm going to have me some spinach or whatever.
Yeah, well, like yesterday I went out with friends and I had a little, it was like a cookie made with almond flour and dates, which are also high in it. No, I had a little taste. It was enough. I don't want to eat too much sweet stuff anyway. I did do that. I'm still, like I said, she said to go off slowly anyway, but so I'm still having some of the things. But I think that when I looked at my diet, it was so high in all these things. There was so much of it, and I was just maybe it is why I'm having these pains.
Well, you could be having some oxalate dumping, too. So you just want to make sure that you don't, like you said, go off of it all too fast because then your body just starts dumping it out.
Yeah, of course. And that's not the case yet. I really have been going slowly. I'm still eating all kinds of things besides what I did yesterday. I still do. But the pain that I'm experiencing, like there's a burning pain in the side of my hip that's been there for maybe 9 months. This is not from slowing down, right? I just started slowing down about a month ago on the off. So I'm thinking maybe that is a deposit. Maybe that's what it is. I have had all kinds of body work on it and the stretches and whatever, you know. All right. Well, I'm going to keep looking. defined as Oxalobacter.
It's Oxalobacter formigenes.
Yes, yes. And the other question is, my mother-in-law, she's 85 years old, and she's been told that her bones are extremely brittle, and she already, I mean, her spine has already collapsed in a few places, and she's broken a femur quite, maybe 10 years ago. They say, like, you know, you should get on the medication, the Fosamax or whatever, even though it didn't help her when she tried that about 30 years ago, and it made her, she had some bad side effects from it. They said you should take something like that because the next fall or break could be fatal. So they're scaring her. And she eats very healthy. She asked me a lot of questions. I guide her on a lot of the things that she does. She's really good with that. I came across this book called The Calcium Lie. It's written by the doctor who invented laparoscopy. His name is Dr. Robert Thompson. I don't know if anybody heard about this, The Calcium Lie. And he said that to rebuild bone, even in a case like hers, even at that advanced age, an advanced stage of osteoporosis, you could still rebuild. But you have to know the ratio of the minerals that are going on in your body, because you need the proper ratio. And he says to do a hair analysis, and only then will you know exactly what you're supposed to be taking. But I see that he's also definitely recommending trace minerals, you know, like the ones, the liquid ones that are made from salt. Of those blue bottles, and I also see that he likes algae cal, so he's very reluctant to give people any calcium because there's just too much calcium already from the diet, and it causes bone loss because of the proportion of minerals and so on, and of course it causes a lot of other things and deposits in places where it shouldn't be. So I just wanted your feedback on this. Like, can she just go on a supplement, or does she have to go through the analysis and really know exactly, what do you know about all this?
Linus,
I think that besides exercise also as well, I mean, she is doing that as well.
So, can you remind me which programs you're in, Daniela? That can help me also know how to direct you as well.
Well, I've had a whole bunch of them. The digestive and the insulin resistance reversal, and then I have the green plants and another one or two.
Do you have the adrenal program by chance?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. I love the way you say that. Well, so one of the things, and I kind of have my Chinese medicine hat on here as well. Mm-hmm. So you can improve the things that are happening with your bones by improving your kidneys and adrenal glands. Mm-hmm. And in Chinese medicine, they call it Jing. And you want to enrich your yin fluids. And those will affect the structural aspects of the body. And like he said, some of these contain very little calcium. So the things that you can do to help your kidneys and your adrenal glands at the same time are what's going to be specifically building your bones. And they can help your body to absorb the calcium substances in there. And so there's also the issue of the calcium to magnesium ratio.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not just you have brittle bones, take this pill or drink more milk or something like that. Is she also in Canada? Because there's also the issue of her vitamin D level.
No, she's in New York, which is very similar, but she takes vitamin D. The one thing she hasn't been taking, and this is another good question, confirm for me, is K2, because she's on a blood thinner, so she has not taken it. And I think that I came across that it's still okay to take K2.
Yeah.
It's not the K1 would be the one that has an effect, right?
Well, what it is with any of the versions of K is that you consistently take the same amount. If so people are eating leafy greens and one day they eat a whole bunch and the next day they don't eat any and the next day they eat more and they're not consistently, it's that variation that affects the thinness of the blood. The other piece, and then I'll be quiet because I want Annette to talk, is chlorophyll. Chlorophyll also helps to regulate calcium. And living in a cold weather climate myself, even though the sun is out, it's questionable the strength of it.
Yeah.
So many of the benefits we would get from sunshine, we can also get from greens. And so, you know, having those greens and that chlorophyll is really important because if you think about it, at the center of a molecule of chlorophyll, it's magnesium.
Yes.
And so that is, you know, chlorophyll foods are really going to be healthy to and helpful to regulate calcium.
Sometimes they sell chlorophyll, like liquid chlorophyll.
You can buy the chlorophyll, green plants. Obviously you want to be careful of the oxalic acid, and that's spinach, chard, and beet greens. Those are the ones that you really want to be careful of.
Yeah. But when you buy chlorophyll, what they call chlorophyll, what is that from? You know?
Well, it depends upon where you get it. Let's see, I'm looking here.
Yeah, it should tell you on the label.
Is there a benefit to saying something that labels it as chlorophyll or just buy a green powder, like a good organic green powder?
You can do a green powder. I'm just looking here. It's because I have some of the sun chlorella, so I'm kind of looking at my box here to see what's in. Ingredients. I just haven't taken it for a while because I try to eat more leafy greens. Maybe your question is there because that's what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, she eats quite a few greens, but because we're trying to really help rebuild bone, maybe she needs more. Like the green powder, right? Or some chlorella or...
Yeah.
So maybe it's best to have a combination of things because there's all kinds of different minerals depending on what they put in there.
Well, that's why you want to look at. I'm just looking at some of the different liquids. Well, you can get them actually as pills and powders and like you were saying. Looking at some of these liquid ones.
through. From personal experience, I take collagen powder every day.
Which one?
I use Vital Post.
Oh, you use collagen.
And I fell and my foot went underneath me, like my toes went back towards the heel of my foot. And amazingly, I did not break anything. And I'm in the late 50s. And like when the doctor x-rayed it, he's like, I don't know how you didn't break anything. But I've been taking collagen almost every day for a good 3-4 years. So I'm confident that that is what kept me from breaking my foot.
And which one do you take? Because there's different numbers.
We use Vital Protein.
Excuse me?
Vital Protein.
Vital Protein.
Yeah, and you can get, there's different sources. Like we just use Vital Protein. We use the, ours is bovine. Because we do well on it. But you can get marine-based one, and there's other.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's better to have a combination, marine-based and bovine, or.
Again, you're going to have to play to see which one works best for you.
It's very hard to know.
Pardon?
It's going to be hard to know for her for a while until something goes up.
When you're first starting out with the Vital Proteins, you can get those little single-serving little packets. So she could always play around to find a taste she likes, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, like, what this collagen number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, different types of collagen, right? And so what it is that she would need for bone, is there a specific one or a mixture of all different numbers? And another question around that is, I have one that is made from the hide of beef, grass-fed beef, and they say that's collagen. Is that, I guess, the skin is collagen, but is that the type that would help bones?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that the quality of it, it's really, to me, it's really important that it's a good organic product.
Yeah.
I put the link for the Vital Proteins in the chat. I also put one, this is what I use, the herb. Because your body actually makes collagen. And so what I'm trying to do is help my body to make more collagen, and especially as you grow older, we make less.
Right.
And so what I'm using, because my body doesn't respond very well to animal products, and so I have found this plant-based collagen booster, and it has the silica and calcium and the faux T and gynostemma, horsetail, nettle, things like that. And those are things that are going to help your body to live more.
A wonderful mixture there. Really great. Yeah.
I also put a link in there for this Nature's Sunshine liquid chlorophyll. And it's a good product. It looked like it can be something good. And, you know, I was looking at calcium sources. And one of the highest foods that has calcium in it is our seaweed. It's tzatziki, wakame, kelp, and kombu.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I actually, Angelica said that they're really good in smoothies, and I actually made a smoothie this morning and put my collagen powder in there.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. So Go ahead.
What about algae cal?
Algae.
Algae cal.
Kelp? Well,
cal?
So,
C-A-L.
Oh, algae cal. Oh, that's a supplement, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I've heard of it. Here it is.
And then we've got other people with questions after this. So if we could help someone else, but Daniela, stay on and we can circle back if that's okay.
No, I think we're good. I mean, unless somebody has feedback on the algae cal because that doctor recommends it, but other than that, those were the questions. So I really thank you both. Thank you so much.
Sure. And I may have found an oxobalactone capsule, but I don't know anything about the company. So if it passes the smell test, I'll post it.
Great.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at the algae kale, and it looks to be okay. It's got some good things in it. But again, you know, choose. Pick one thing, choose, see how you do with it. And that's why I'm a big fan of journaling and keeping track. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you. Angelica, feel free to correct me, but I think Kiki's next. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think so.
Kiki, your line is open.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
Good. So good to hear you.
I'm hoping I'll be able to hear you clear because I've been having such a hard time understanding the previous caller. I don't know if she was on speaker or I'm hoping we'll have a clear communication. Firstly, thank you so much for always assisting and helping out with links and with information. I'm so grateful.
That's my secret power.
I wanted to ask you if you could shed any light, if you would know anything in reference to my mother suffers very much from calcification. She always had like shoulder ache or knee pain, and they always told her she's calcified, she has too much calcium buildup. And now she just had a stroke, and they said that her valve is calcified. She needs to have open heart surgery to replace the valve. So my question is, in reference to this calcification, if you would have any idea, if you would know, is such a thing hereditary or it's caused by something? And also, if you have any information, like going forward, what she could take or what's the best way to go about this to help the calcium, to remove excess calcium, or any information, I would greatly appreciate.
Wow.
Both of us are like, wow.
You're hearing of it, or?
There's a lot to that question.
Yeah.
Okay. That loaded question. Okay.
It's because it's, again, you know, it's like you have a whole lifetime of things going on, and it may be an ancestral thing with, you know, like you said, your genetics coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've ever done any type of genetic testing or, you know, to see what's going on there. You know, that can certainly help.
My ex-husband had a calcified aortic valve, and he had the replacement surgery. But so did his dad. In their case, it was hereditary. It was a genetic factor in there. But I, you know, my father-in-law smoked. He fought in World War II. Who knows what he was exposed to? Mm-hmm. So there's also, you know, some life factors.
Yeah.
And my ex would have never done anything to detoxify. He was told early on, it's going to calcify, you'll have to have a replacement, and he just waited till the medicine was.
Yeah, it happens to be my mother never smoked. She doesn't drink. She has been on medication for the past 25 years for blood pressure control. That could play a factor. So I'm wondering if there's anything that could help, any foods or herbs, anything that could help. And I'm also wondering in terms of, like, me as a daughter, if I need to be on the lookout, if such a thing could be hereditary, how would I know? What are the signs?
That I would talk to a cardiologist about that. That's outside my...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't done a 23andMe or any other type of genetic test, I would suggest you do that. The place that Dr. Reed Marie likes to get the interpretation for the raw data from is Genetic Detoxification. On that site, they also have a book that you can purchase. You could also, if you don't have it already, Shine Conference of 2018, I believe, was on genetics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get that, I mean, you get three packed days of information and the charts and everything. And, you know, you could, that is a course in and of itself. But honestly, I'm going to kind of bring it down and bring it basic. First of all, heart math is really important. Anything that can help you with your stress and worry, because, I mean, you mentioned she's on blood pressure medication, and stress and worry are one of the things that raises our blood pressure more than anything. And yeah. So the more you can just be in that stress management, because stress isn't going away, but any of those ways that you can use to manage your stress. But then also, because you have CMDS, right? The digestive master.
I have a few.
So simple things like avoiding overeating, you know. Overeating is probably the major cause of aging and any of the things that go with it. So, you know, don't eat to the point of being full.
I don't think people overeat. I read somewhere article that vitamin K2 can help, but I never fully, I don't know how much you could rely on these random articles that you read here and there.
What kind of mouth did your mom get?
What kind of?
Yeah.
What's your question?
You said your mom had a replacement. Well, I'm asking, what was it? Titanium? Was it ant? Was it bovine? Was it porcine?
She didn't have it yet. She has to have it. It is going to be animal. Yeah.
Okay. So odds are she will not have to do blood thinners, because that's usually
right. Right. Okay. That's one of the reasons we chose it. Yeah.
Yeah, which is good, because that's done its own level of damage to my ex. Because you were talking about the K and the clotting, and you have to be careful. So, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we were talking with Daniela could be really helpful, like the chlorophyll or spirulina or chlorella, and, you know, I know Daniela is saying on the chat, lemon juice, magnesium, which again goes hand in hand with that whole calcium piece. And, you know, trying to think of different herbs. Without knowing more about her, it's hard for me to say, because herbs have their own particular constituents. So to just say, hey, if you want to know more about it, but I'm just looking over it. Does she do anything like any seaweeds, like kelp powder or anything like that?
I have been working with her over the past year, about 1.5. She's really, you know, kicked in real healthy habits, and she's trying to increase her greens. She tries to make a smoothie here and there. She has definitely been trying.
Great. You know, because including more of those greens, a barley grass or a grass juice powder, chlorella is probably the most mild of the microalgaes. You know, introduce them to her a little at a time so you can see. And like Annette was saying, you can get them in samples so you don't have to buy a whole container of something and that's not what they need. But those are the things that are really going to be helpful for her. Sprouts are another really great way because sprouting, again, breaks down all the constituents of the food, so you get good fats and protein. And they're also really good for RNA and DNA because they get they're increased like tenfold if once you sprout them. So sprouts or, you know, like I said, the wheatgrass or barley grass can be really helpful.
Maybe I'll get her a green powder that has all these things inside.
Yeah, those are going to be, again, really helpful.
Yeah.
They're just really good smaller steps for doing that. You know, making sure she doesn't eat late at night. You also want to make sure you don't make sudden changes in the diet. The gradual change in what she eats is going to be more tolerated by her. You know, making sure everything is digestible. So smoothies are a really good thing. And it sounds like you're getting her off of the refined sugar and all of that. Does she drink coffee?
Yeah. It's very, very little. She's been very good following my advice a lot, too. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, because coffee can be harmful there, too. Do you know what her pulse or her body temperature is?
I wouldn't offhand.
I didn't know if she was, like, always cold or, you know, she preferred not to wear a sweater.
No, she's always opening the windows. The opposite.
She's always opening the windows?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's, chances are then she has more of that heat characteristic. And so cooling foods, like, you know, raw vegetables, fruits, juices, are going to be really helpful. And then, you know, while we decrease sugar, she should probably be careful with her salt. Salt can actually be moistening, but you got to make sure it's a good salt. And so that's something to play around with. You know, having her protein in a good range. The seaweeds are really going to be helpful to her. Black sesame seeds, flax seeds, those are going to be really helpful for her. Do you know if she's constipated or not?
No, not at all. Like she says, as a matter of fact, that when she makes a smoothie, she needs to run to the bathroom. So.
Oh, okay. So her transit time's a little quick. So maybe putting in like a chia gel or something that's going to put more bulk in it is going to be helpful. Because then otherwise she's not even absorbing her nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Barbara wanted to know, what do black sesame seeds do? Black sesame seeds are actually good if you are constipated, because they build up a bulk and it's good. They're moistening. So, yeah, they're good if you're having a dryness constipation. You know, I wish that I could say, here's a particular herb that you can give her and all of that, but honestly, just going back to some of the basics, and that can be really helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. And come back next month and let us know how it's going.
Yeah, she's having surgery on the 20th, so yeah, well, I'm not looking forward, but I hope she has a speedy and easy recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recoveries are faster now than they used to be. They've perfected it a lot more.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm just looking on the Unstoppable Health page. This was put there. It might have been files.
And, you know, take care of yourself during this time, too.
Yeah, I do.
Good. This is a woman who knows.
Yeah. You definitely take care of yourself.
Yeah. Were you in Sweet Spot at all?
Yeah.
I think I put it in there. One of the groups, I put a file that it's pre and post surgery. And it's so kind of go through the different groups that you might be in with Dr. Rita Marie and look in the file section.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll try.
You see if you can find that.
Something comes up. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, then. Thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
All right. You're welcome. Okay. Let's see, Barbara. I'm just now starting to take probiotics. What do you mean? See how you feel and your comfort level. What are some of the adverse effects that I might be experiencing when starting probiotics? So, what would you like to say there?
Me?
Yeah.
It's going to be more like digestive stress. Maybe loose stools. I know if I take too much of a probiotic, especially just like straight out of the gate, it will cause a loose stool for me. Maybe a little cramping. So.
Yeah. Some abdominal distress, like you said, bloating. You could get uncomfortable gas. Like a friend of mine says, it's room clearing gas. Any change.
For like some that. Of the, if you take charcoal with it, that should help with, it'll absorb some of the toxins from the die off, and your symptoms shouldn't be as bad as they could be.
Yeah, it can help.
Yeah.
The other thing, like we've been talking about too, is that playing with it. Sometimes it could be, you're eating more fiber than your body is used to, so you're producing, a hydrogen. When bacteria eat, they excrete just like we do. And so some of these bacteria that you may inadvertently be feeding are producing this hydrogen. And if you don't have enough hydrogen-eating bacteria, you know, so it's kind of that playing of how much fiber you are eating, making sure you're building up that good bacteria. It's kind of a fine dance. It's not like, again, you have this, take this much.
Right. Right.
And that's why Dr. Rita Marie is always saying, start low and slow.
Yeah, that's the best way. So Barbara, you asked, what do we mean by see and feel height? You're going to know. If I were to walk out of this to go take a teaspoon of a really strong probiotic, I'm going to have the distress. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to know it. Like if I eat a food that's bad for me, I know it almost instantly just by listening to my body. But then you have to decide, like when you have allergies, some days, and I hope you don't, some days allergies are really bad and you just feel bad and you're going to lay low. But some days it's just kind of a low background noise. So that's kind of what we mean by find your comfort level. And if you can function and deal with some of those minor side effects for a while, then okay. But if it's debilitating, I took a supplement once that was an oregano oil in a form. And the doctor, and it was just, he had come up with this program, and he would work his people up to 16 of these things a day. I don't know how they did it, because at 6 a day, I was miserable. I couldn't even get out of bed. So I had to cut back to like 1 or 2. That was all I could do. So that was me playing with and finding my comfort level, the level that I could deal with the oregano and still function as a human out in the world, as opposed to in bed with watery eyes and not being able to do anything. So I hope that helps.
So Barbara said on the chat, how can she unmute herself? Barbara, I have your line open.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I guess that my question is, I've got some probiotics, and also I think I'm probably dealing with some yeast die-off, and how to differentiate between the two. I think the symptoms might be similar.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's going on?
The gas and the bloating, and I've noticed it after taking the probiotics, so I can drop back down to one capsule, and I wondered if it might be that I should open it and mix it with water. You know, if one is too much, then to go ahead and do the half, like was mentioned earlier, I think Annette was talking about, or someone,
yeah,
about pouring water and doing it that way. I thought I was probably assessing my body properly, but didn't know what to do about it. And as far as my food intake, I mean, back 2 to 3 months when I started doing like the green cleanse and that sort of thing, my food hasn't really changed. So I think I get plenty of fiber with the amount of greens that I eat, you know, twice a day with my intermittent fasting. So I think it's all these other things that we're adding, and I've added several things at the same time and trying to understand, you know, which one might be affecting me. You know, I can't really control the yeast die off, I don't think, but I can control how I add the probiotic.
Right. And I know because, so I'm her coach in ERC, so I might know just a few other things in here, but I'm also looking at your action plan, and we can always talk about that.
Right.
More.
Not, I know.
Yeah. Too. But you know, I agree. Like Annette was also saying, stepping back and taking a little less, tracking your food, so you can see if there's one particular food or types of foods that stick out.
And introduce things more at a time. You know,
yeah.
The foods are not the issue. It's probably the supplements and not having complete background of what each one does. Like, for example, I've started doing the castor oil, oil pulling in the morning, and I saw, I think several folks are aware of, like, the Dr. Z and the Mama Z, and they do all the essential oils, and they suggested clove, orange, lemon, and peppermint, which I've been doing lemon and peppermint in my morning waters, my energizing drinks, but it was the clove. I had no idea what do for yeast, and it was like I couldn't leave the house that day. I was in the bathroom all the time, and that was from one drop of clove.
Yeah.
So part is my learning process, you know, so I really think all the combinations of things I'm doing is hopefully having a beneficial effect on the overgrowth of yeast, but you've got to go through a little trial before you get to the end of the rainbow. I think that's what I'm dealing with. So, and just as a heads up for you, Lynn, we'll talk in the future, but I think I've implemented and have most all the supplements and things that you've suggested on my action plan, and I'm starting to implement those and just need to, you know, and I know I need to get it on my master tractor so you can look at the order and that sort of thing.
Thank you. You know, I do oil pulling in the morning, and I get mine from Living Libations, and it does have clove in it, but I'm also just doing oil pulling. I'm not swallowing it. And
right.
Two different mechanisms there.
Toxic. Yes.
At this point, I wouldn't want to swallow it. With what just, you know, that was the only thing I did different was to add the essential oils to the castor oil.
Did you rinse your mouth after you pulled?
I did, and then I brushed my teeth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And scrape your tongue.
I'm sorry?
Do tongue scraping also.
Yeah, I have to get that. I don't have a tongue scraper yet. But, yeah, okay, that's another thing I need to add.
Well, until you get it, brush your tongue.
Just brush it. Yeah. And I have always done that. I have a toothbrush with the scraper on the back side of it, but it's not the same. Okay.
Right.
Thank you for all the suggestions.
Sure. You're welcome.
Yeah. I love Barbara. She has just such a curious mind. In fact, everybody here has a great curious mind.
Oh, yeah. Thing that can help with the die off is drinking some extra water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So after I do my oil pulling, I don't know how long it's been, 2 or 3 years ago, Dr. Rita Marie did a radio show with Nadine Artemis, and she has her 8-step oral health care. And I know, Barbara, because you're an ERC, and if anybody's in Body Freedom Foundations, that is up there. I can't even remember which pillar it's in anymore. It might be environment. But anyway, it's a great way to take all those toxins that you just pulled out. For example, I know that after I do the oil pulling, I'll go and I do a saltwater rinse, and then I do my tongue scraping, and then the rest of my teeth brushing and stuff, and then I use a neti pot. And they're just all great ways for all of us that are trying to help our body eliminate toxins. Especially after you've been sleeping all night and you've got this buildup.
Right.
Let's see. Just looking through here. And then Rose has asked a question about the chronometer. How to find your recipes and put them in add food list or recipe list so I can find them later. You know, I don't have her as a friend, so I don't know how that works. Do you have the chronometer?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Dr. Rita Marie was talking about that on a recent call.
Yeah. Well, I knew how she got people to share, and I watched her while she did it on that call. She just put things in. But you're on a little tiny computer screen, so it's hard to see.
Right.
How to find your recipes. So is there anybody on here who has that lovely app and knows how Rose can add recipes or find the recipes?
I can weigh in on that. I believe Dr. Avery has said in past calls that you need to be in the gold level of membership in order to actually be able to share recipes. So,
Rose is in Body Balance, and she actually put on the Facebook page that she had put a request in, and then Dr. Rita Marie responded back. She's accepted her now. So it sounds like that part's done, and now she doesn't know how to find the recipes. And I haven't been on that part.
The gold membership myself, so I haven't gone through that navigation. Let's see. I know that it might have been on a different call that Dr. Rita Marie walked through. I believe it was for our ERC program. But yeah. We can definitely note that she is, we can definitely tell her that people are wondering about that, and perhaps we could do a screen share on the Facebook group that would answer that question.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Barbara has her hand up. Let me see. Maybe she has. Do you have something to share there, Barbara?
Yes, I had lost my computer, so I didn't have the chat. There's a button, if you're in the gold level, there's a button that says My Recipes. And I've actually started to put some things on there. And you can just go back and find your recipe. I've actually even went and edited after I changed some things. So you can edit, and then I wanted to look at the count of all the nutrient levels as you change it, you know, just to see what effect it had on it by switching some things up. So it's called My Recipes, and they're all there after you add a recipe. And you go, there's a button on the bottom that says Food, and so you touch on it first, and then there'll be a plus that you can either add a food or add a recipe. And that's what I remember. I can try to pull it up and look, but if first, make sure you have the gold level, and then you can see that.
Yeah. All right, Rose. If you're still on the chat, can you let us know if that helped? I saw her earlier on there. Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's what I love about this community. All right. Judy says recipes are under the food icon. If you select that, then one of the options is My Recipes. And then you can create the recipes you want or look at what you have. Thank you, Judy. And then she said, never mind, Barbara just said it all. But I think I missed the food icon part. So for me, that was helpful because I know Barbara did talk about My Recipes, but that's looking for that food icon is important. Do you see anything else?
No, I was just checking. I refreshed, and there's nothing new there.
Nothing there. All right. Well, I see no hands up, and I don't see any other questions in the chat. Do you?
No, I do not.
It looks to be that way. I know Barbara, who says, it says, Barbara, I am in Michigan, asked, how is biodynamic tea different than other tea, from other tea? And I had said in the chat, it's the way the plants are raised, but yeah, biodynamic farming or gardening, it's...
it's how they care and feed for the soil. It's better,
exactly.
Better than organic.
Way better. I do what I can here, but... we don't have as many groups or places in this area, but I call it homeopathy for the soil.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So if you're interested in biodynamics, just Google it. There's a great organization. Okay. Talked about all that.
Yeah, I don't see anything else.
Me neither. All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Annette.
Well, thank you.
It's been fun.
Always. It's always good to share time with you, Lynn.
It's probably good you were here because apparently my audio goes in and out.
That's okay. You're welcome, Barbara.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Angelica.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Well, I just wanted to do our normal party sign-off routine. So we're going to all open up our mics so we can all say goodbye to each other. So on the count of three, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you all. You can say goodbye, and then we'll end the call. All right? One, two, three. Everyone's mics are open.
Goodbye.
Bye. Have a good day. Thank you, everyone.